Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. We have Mike Davis hosting, and we have a special guest here, April James. She is the director of the Father's House Healing Ministry with the Assembly God of Live Oak and coordinator of the Lunch Bunch International Interdenominational Outreach for Live Oak High School students. Also, she volunteers with Sierra Ministries International. Very active woman. Mr. Mike Davis, would you care to bring us into the program with a prayer, please?
Thank you, John. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before you thanking you for this day, thanking you for your grace and your mercies, thanking you for your power, your protection, Lord, all of your promises, your great patience with us and with others. And Father God, we do pray that you would help us to be, Lord, sensitive to your, to hear your still small voice, and Lord, immediately obedient to accomplish your will. And Father God, we pray that you would prepare not only our hearts, but the hearts and the minds and the ears of the listeners. Father God, we pray that this entire conversation, Lord, would honor and glorify and lift up Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And we do pray that we would honor you with every thought, every word, and every deed, every attitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, April, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Mike.
And you and Doris and I, we've known each other for a while because Doris and I used to go to the Father's House, mm-hmm. and that's where you're the director of the Healing Ministries there. Would you give us a bit of an update? Because it's been literally years since we've been to the Father's House.
We're still there. Obviously, and we've seen many things over the years. Currently, the way we are running it is it's every Sunday morning. We are there pre-service during, you know, prayer worship time when that's going on. People just can come in with whatever is on their heart, whatever need they have, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually. We are there to join together with them in prayer.
Oh, excellent. And now, do you still have the active prayer during the worship of the service?
We not, because we found people were really wanting to be in there. But if somebody has a need and they come to say, I need prayer, yes, we will leave the service, we will take them out, and we will go and minister to them.
Okay. Now, when we were there, and because we were part of the healing mm-hmm. ministry there for a little while, and I noticed that when we were there, the idea was to go ahead and document what the troubles were or what the needs were, what the concerns were, and then to go ahead and document later what the outcome was mm-hmm. and hopefully have something that would build the faith not only of the healing team but of the entire congregation, mm-hmm. especially when that was going on during prayer and worship. Because of the fact that during worship, the Scripture says that God inhabits the praise of His people. Mm-hmm. So during a praise and worship portion of the service, there's no better time to lift up your needs toward God. So if our listeners, for instance, are in a congregational setting, and they see and they're experiencing in the prayer and the worship and the praise portion of that particular service, which is inviting God's presence, and they are nudged by God to lift up and intercede for somebody, there's no better time mm-hmm. than that. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've seen over the years.
Oh, we have seen people come in with such severe pain in their body and leave rejoicing pain-free. So we just love that. And some that are just so heavy and weighed down with burdens, with cares, with fears, just come in and just have it lifted off. You know, as we're praying with them, they're able to leave it with the Lord and just receive His love for them. And then they're in a place, you know, as they are back into the service, to then being able to enter in more freely into worship and the word that is coming forth and just feeling His presence there.
Very good. Very good. And this isn't voodoo. This is all scriptural. You use scripture in the healing process to minister to people. It's the promises of God. Mm-hmm. So can you name a couple just off the top of your head?
A couple of scriptures?
Yes, please.
The one that was coming to me this morning, just, you know, from someone that I had recently dealt with yesterday, was weighed down with such emotional turmoil and anger and all of that. And the Lord says he's come to heal the brokenhearted, come for the hurting, for the sick. And then there is the one, and do pardon my break here just for a moment. A heart at peace gives life to the body. So you can think of the opposite to that. When you don't have peace, what is it doing to the body? And the medical field is also confirming how our emotional aspects affect our physical health. So that is just one that is there of the promises. In Psalms 103, he tells us not to forget all of his benefits. So many people end at the salvation. But it goes on that he also heals all of our diseases. And that's a benefit available to Christians that the Lord has given us.
Absolutely. And it's not just a physical healing also. It's, mm-hmm. It is the peace that surpasses understanding. A lot of people that come in, they are having a physical manifestation mm-hmm. of something that is a spiritual problem. They lack the peace that God has promised. Mm-hmm. And the world will always have counterfeits. That's the one thing. You know, the Christian community, when we talk about Galatians 5, for instance, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love and joy and peace and patience mm-hmm. and the others. Okay, and so when we see the world running around with impatience, we already know that they're walking in the spirit of the flesh, not in the spirit of, of God. And the one thing that Paul says is, for instance, when we want to talk about, okay, so love, the love that the Christians have is agape love, the love of God. Well, what is it that the world has? The world has eros, which is erotic, and then they have the brotherly love, which we call, that's where Philadelphia got its name from, is mm-hmm. the city of brotherly love. Okay, but it's a, and when I think it was in John 21 or something, when Jesus asked Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me with the love of God more than these? Okay, and Peter says, well, I love you with a brotherly love. Mm-hmm. Jesus came back and says, Peter, do you love me with the love of God? And Peter came back and says, Lord, I love you with a brotherly love. And Jesus then came back and came down again and said, Peter, do you love me with a brotherly love? Mm-hmm. And Peter was grieved at this point. And he came back and says, Lord, you know everything. And was that telling us? It's saying if he claimed a higher amount of love than he had been given, okay, Jesus would have called him on it. And he said, Lord, you know that I only love you, I love you with a brotherly love. But it's interesting that in his epistle, I think it's 1 Peter 1:8, he writes to the those that are dispersing, he says, you who have not seen him, I know that you love him, and he's using the agape love. I know that you love him with a love that Peter couldn't even claim himself, having lived with him 3 years in his ministry. How is that possible? And it's the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so the world has counterfeit fleshly-type fruit for the spiritually engaged and the spiritually empowered fruit that the Christian has. And that's where what we're talking about is accessing the fruit of the Spirit that gives you the peace that surpasses understanding, that gives you, the healing that is both mental, emotional, mm-hmm. and manifests itself eventually in the physical. Okay? And that's what we're talking about here. And one of the things that we were talking about before the show is that we had a Bible study one time at the Father's house, and we had a young gentleman that came in that wanted prayer. And, you know, to this day, I do not know if he even spoke English, but he sure spoke Christianity. And he was Christian because he was, from one of the other churches in the town there. But he was limping in like he should have been on crutches. And by the time the healing team got done with him, he was doing laps around the sanctuary. And I find that exhilarating, mm-hmm. that God would use a body of his believers to do his work in somebody that, you know, wasn't necessarily connected with us, but was connected with God, so God was going to hook him up. And Jesus was around doing good for a lot of people that ended up, I'll bet you, some of the people that Jesus healed ended up calling out, crucify him at some point, or just denying him. But so my suggestion would be there is a lot of room to let God be God. Mm-hmm. It's not on us. Talk a little bit about your dependence on God and on the Holy Spirit for any ministry that you do.
It's completely dependent on him. I don't feel I can do anything apart. I find if I start to be involved in something and I haven't invited him into it, it's not going anywhere. I don't have the boldness. I don't have the strength. I don't have the creative thoughts, the ideas. I don't have the stamina and the strength. And if he's not in it, it's not drawing other people in that are needed to be there in order to accomplish this. Because it's not a one-man show. It's other people coming together.
Okay. Now, I'm going to read something from Scripture here, and that is Acts chapter 3, verse 26. And it says, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." How much does the manifestation of illness or of an infirmity, of bondage, either mental or emotional, how much does that have to do with the bondage of iniquity?
The scripture that comes to mind, I think it's in the New Testament, but he's talking about that the law of life in Christ Jesus, through the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, has given us freedom from the law of sin and death.
That's Romans 8.
Thank you. I knew it was there somewhere. And when we're in that iniquity and we've got, you know, all of that into our lives, it weighs us down in every aspect. And it's a burden that we're not meant to carry. That's not how the Lord set it up in the beginning. But it's what came in after sin entered the world. But he's given us that way out of it, and we were not walking in it. Everything else is opening up before us.
Absolutely. And it's that's the one thing that we need to make sure that our listeners in particular, if this challenges any of them, you know, I'm hoping that it challenges them to a self-examination. Like the prophet Haggai says, examine your ways. Examine your ways. Is there iniquity that you've hidden in your life? Or is there unforgiveness that is hidden in your heart? Is there a bitterness, a root of bitterness? Because there are a lot of people that are carrying around things with them, baggage that should have been unloaded 20 years ago. You know, we cannot haul around a spirit of bitterness and not know that it's weighing us down. Hebrews tells us to cast off those things that weigh us down and set aside the sin that so easily besets us. So if you and I know what it is that's weighing us down, and yet we feel like, well, I don't know why God isn't, you know, why I don't feel better. I don't know why I always feel like I'm lugging around, you know, a 1,000-pound brick on my shoulders or something. Well, you know, if you're suffering from unforgiveness, if you're suffering from bitterness, if you're suffering from you know, envy or strife or any of the other things that Jesus warned us about, we need to unload that. Because you're right, we're not meant to carry that. That's meant to be on the cross. And that can waste. You can't have a peace if you have that.
Right. And it's not saying that we as believers are perfect and are without sin. It's part of the nature, but we're not living it. We're bringing it to the cross, and we're receiving the freedom from it. But we know that emotional wounds and those hurts, like you're saying, the unforgiveness and all of that we can be carrying can be just as crippling as a car accident, you know, that you've been in can be with it. And sometimes it's on the inside. You don't see it physically on the outside necessarily, but it can manifest that way. And it just binds you and it holds you. And he wanted us to live in peace in every area of our life. And it's not just managed, but it's where we can invite the Lord in and receive that true freedom, that true peace, as we forgive, as we turn it over to him and let him carry the burdens of it. Let him be the judge and not us being the judge and holding what is due us, but in releasing it.
Absolutely. And you know, sometimes that burden that people are holding on to, that burden is in, if you said, well, what does your burden look like? Well, it looks like my dad, or it looks like my parents, or mm-hmm. it looks like, you know, my ex, or it looks like, you know, this, that, or the other person, or it looks like, you know, these other, you know, it looks like the school bully, or it looks, you know, from 20 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we're not meant to carry mm-hmm. that. We really are not meant to carry that. And if we've got, Jesus said himself, he says, if anybody takes the yoke and they're still looking behind them, you know, they're not yet fit for the kingdom. They've still got stuff holding them back in the world. Mm-hmm. And you need to take those scissors and just snip those lines there and turn those over to the cross. Remain at the Savior's feet. You know, mm-hmm. I think everybody who's feeling that, well, and the listener might say, well, everybody's got that. Everybody's got some of that stuff in their life. Well, yes, and everybody who is a Christian should be turning that over, sitting at the Savior's feet, receiving healing, receiving both the mental, the emotional healing, and opening themselves up to any physical healing also, simply by laying those burdens at the Savior's feet. Because while we're trying to juggle and carry around this load, we're not able to do the Master's work, which is shining the light. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I'm always concentrating on my burdens. I'm not concentrating on the Lord. I'm always concentrating on the storm. I'm not concentrating on what the Master wants to do in me and through me and around me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
Mike, nice I said. We will be right back with April James, and this segment is brought to you by Pastor Ken Malone of the New Life Church on Grand Avenue in Thermalito. We thank you for all your support. Now, April James, we are back to. She's a very active member of the Christian community. Thank you.
So, April, again, you're not only involved in the Father's House as the director of the healing ministry team there, mm-hmm. you're also a volunteer with Sierra Ministries International, and you travel to Grass Valley. Tell us a little bit about that ministry.
Sierra Ministries is an interdenominational group that makes it up. Dan Prout is the Sierra president of Sierra Ministries. And the main focus is encouraging prayer, healing, worship, unity in the body of Christ. And he's committed in developing and training the body of Christ in spiritual strategy to see the good news of Jesus Christ transform the whole of society, to see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. And now that one of the aspects is a healing ministry. He is actually a Presbyterian minister, but what makes up the team of volunteers with him, we are from multiple cities down the Bay Area, up in Susanville, we're from all over, and we're also from varied faiths that come together. One thing that he does is he goes out into a lot in the Northern California and other areas where he's invited, and he brings the team in, and they do a two-day seminar teaching on the scriptures and healing with it. And that's how I became involved with him in 2007 when he came to the Father's house and did a healing seminar. I believed in healing, that it was scriptural, but even being from, you know, more of a Pentecostal charismatic, I never really saw it. And I believe, but I really didn't hold it. It wasn't really solidified in my spirit. And after this training, it was the turning point in my life. One, in praying for people and seeing people healed. And having that boldness to say, okay, this is what the scripture says. I believe it. Because he presents it in such a manner, it's easy to understand. And that's what I needed. I needed the simplicity of it, not the high theological way over my head, and that's what was broken down. I was probably about a year after that I actually started participating with the healing ministry that they have in Grass Valley. Currently, the hospital, we go in under the chaplains, and we're there twice a month, the first and the third Thursday, from 7 to 8:30, where anyone can come in. And there is no fee to any of it. And we meet with them in small groups. It's private to minister to them. And it's whatever they're coming in for. Sometimes they come in with this physical, and it turns out, well, there's this other area out there. And we've prayed for so many people where there's been unforgiveness, and all of a sudden they're set free physically. We have seen many miracles. People have traveled from Nevada to come in, up Redding, Red Bluff, you know, Sacramento, and down beyond have come. And God's faithful, and he shows up. But the main thing is, and you brought it up earlier, was love. Whether they receive everything that they are wanting at that moment in time, we want them to know the love of Christ. We are there. We are loving them. We are caring for them. And we are standing by them until they receive everything that they want.
Absolutely. And that's such a good point to bring up, that people sometimes they come to the Christian wanting something that they don't need, and yet needing something that they don't necessarily want or know that they need. Mm-hmm. And that is, we'll get into that a little bit in other outreach opportunities. But these people, they're coming because they want a physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, they need light in their life. They don't know the Savior, and they need the Savior. They need the presence of the Savior in their lives. You know, one of the interesting paradox of the Christian life is we are set free through the Lordship of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. It is when we turn our life over to his Lordship and let him direct our lives much better than we could ever direct our own lives, that we are actually free in from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of the world and the world's expectations, because after a while we become that rock in the stream that says, well, I'm here because I'm supposed to be here, and I'm not going over, you know, I'm not moving in a different direction, I'm not moving at all, I'm just staying right here. Mm-hmm. And everybody, the world passes around us kind of, and they recognize that we're there because many times we're in the way, okay? And I use I use a lot of analogies with driving, okay? Because I'm on the road so many times, and when you go the speed limit on the road, you're a rock in the stream because mm-hmm. you have people passing you all the time in every direction. Well, to an extent, you're shining your light. You're saying, hey, you know what? This is the way the laws have determined that we should drive. And according to Romans chapter 13, we should abide by the laws of of those who are in charge. So by honoring the law, the written law, we're honoring God. And as long as the written law doesn't, you know, vary from God's law, God's natural law of how things should be, then we ought to give honor to, you know, give honor to Caesar. Yeah, give to Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and give to the Lord those things that are Lord's. And so when you are doing what is called for, you're actually exposing that which is not. accomplishing what should be, you know? So that rock in the stream, what you're doing is you're actually forcing people to that they it's if they're uncomfortable, it's their discomfort, okay? That's on them, you know, their discomfort, because you're doing what you're supposed to do. And if everybody did what they were supposed to do, you wouldn't be that rock in the stream, because everybody would be doing exactly that one thing, you know? So I look at, and as one pastor once said, even a dead fish can float downstream. You know, it's the Christians that are swimming against the tide, that are swimming against the stream, that are all of a sudden being shown very clearly in what we're being asked to swallow in this society. And we're being asked to swallow some really nasty stuff these days, things that are not Christian and have no business in a church or in a school or in society in general. You know, our society looks like it has taken a nosedive morally, okay? And everybody's wringing their hands and saying, well, what's the problem? Well, I'll tell you what part of the problem is. We have Christians running around not acting like Christians. We have Christians running around not thinking like Christians. And because of that, many Christians have lost the peace that surpasses understanding. And it's manifesting itself in those things that are, let's say, the fruit of the flesh. And I look at where the fruit of the Spirit is, love and joy and peace and patience. Okay, and I go back to the counterfeits. Okay, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Impatience is of the fruit of the flesh. And so when you have a Christian that's running around, and if any of our listeners are running around and they're getting really, really impatient, pause for a moment and say, wait a minute, I'm operating in the flesh. My impatience is fleshly. My strife is fleshly. My envy is fleshly. Okay? And I go back to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink. It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, it's not an accident that he put it in those in that particular order. You have to be righteous with God before you have the peace of God, because you have to have peace with God before you can have the peace of God. Okay, and Romans 8 says we're at enmity with God if we're not at peace with God, and we're only at peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, and you only have joy if you have peace. Why? Because your joy is a happiness. It's happenstance. If the market is up, I'm happy. If the market is down, I'm not happy. But joy is that fruit of the Spirit that you can actually literally be standing at the gravesite of a loved one, tears rolling down your cheeks, and still have the joy of the Lord, because you know that you're going to meet that loved one again in eternity. Okay? Because you're both in Christ. And Christ has promised that. And so, what is the Lord's counterfeit for peace? I'd say it's food and drink. I'd say that Paul is saying, if you don't have that, if you don't have the peace that surpasses understanding, check out your flesh. Are you just feeding your flesh, and is it a fleshly contentment rather than the peace that surpasses understanding? And it's the healing ministries like Sierra Ministries International. It's like the healing ministries of the Father's House. It's those healing things that are driving, or rather not driving, but are encouraging people to find their peace in Christ Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And I think that that's the beginning of any healing. Let's go ahead and make sure that people have peace, that they first off know that God is able. God can supply their needs, and in this case, their wants. If they come to us with a want, let's make sure they don't leave without that need of Christ Jesus. That's the challenge to our listeners, is let's make sure that we're not just giving people their earthly, fleshly wants, but that they are receiving their spiritual needs. Did you have anything to add to your comments on the Sierra Ministries?
It's been a great ministry. It's been a great outreach. It's been going for many years.
Now, it's interesting that it is interdenominational. Mm-hmm. I really love that. And I think God really loves that, too. Talk a little bit about his training program for the because he goes out on, what, an annual basis, or is it semi-annual?
It depends on when there is a church who wants to bring him in to do it. Sometimes we've got several goings on. Sometimes there's not so much. You know, we just trust the Lord to open the doors for us to go where he wants to go. And when there's a minister who is involved, and sometimes it's somebody in their congregation that brings it forward to them. And then they'll enter the discussion, and he will sit down with the pastor, explain where he is, what he's looking at, you know, going over scriptures, answering any questions. And if they decide they want him to come in, then, you know, they set it up, we arrange the team, and we go.
Well, I find it interesting that part of that process is not only that he will, and when we talk about he, we're talking about Pastor Prout now. Not only does he teach the actual class, but now we get hands-on practice.
Yes. Yeah, and that is it. I mean, we come in with small groups. He does the main teaching, and then we break into groups. So it's a hands-on learning workshop type of environment, and that's where several of us are. We are coaches in the small group, and we take it a little further, adding other things on, touching and scripture and anointing with oil and those things. And then people that are at the seminar have the opportunity to receive ministry. So it's wonderful that they have come to learn, but they also receive.
Well, and you bring up, and I'm going to touch on one point, and that is the word that you just brought up, and that is touching.
Mm-hmm.
Talk for a couple minutes about etiquette, because etiquette is so important. It's more, it's so important not to offend who you're praying for. Or to make, you have to make them feel comfortable in the process. So how do you do that at the Father's house?
When we have somebody that's not come in before, because we do have people that have come just for the prayer, for the healing, because they've heard about it, we sit down with them, we explain for a couple minutes what our beliefs are, why we do it, where in Scripture it talks about anointing with oil and laying on the hands. And we only want to do what they are comfortable with. We don't know a person's background. Some of them may have come from a very abusive, where the laying of hands on them is a no. So if they are not comfortable with it, we don't lay hands on. But we do explain to them. If they give us permission, then we do. But we also ask, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Or can I touch your knee? We're very careful where we lay hands. Because we don't want to offend, we don't want any accusations. We want people to feel loved, to feel that they are in a safe environment.
Absolutely. So if somebody is in the middle, let's say of a in the middle of a congregational service, and somebody stands up for prayer, let's say it's a woman, and let's say that she has a problem. Let's say that she's married, okay, and let's say that she has a problem and with her stomach or something like that. The appropriate thing to do is have her to put her hand over the affected area, and then her husband should put his hand over her hand. And then whoever wants to go ahead and pray for her should put their hands over his hand. Okay? The next thing, now let's say that she stands up and doesn't have a husband or a covering, per se, then she should put her hand over the affected area, and then the ladies of the congregation should go ahead and put their hands over her hand, okay? The idea is to not offend, okay? The idea is to support and to not make anybody uncomfortable because, quite frankly, everybody has to be of one mind and one spirit, you know, to make things more effective. God can break through any type of, how shall we say, any cloud of perhaps resistance, but he really has a problem. There is scripture actually that says Jesus was unable to do many miracles in his own hometown because of unbelief. And So that's what we want to do. We want to go ahead and we don't want to, you know, have unbelief. We nor also don't want to have offense or, mm-hmm. you know, distraction in these things. That's why it's so important when, especially in a prayer situation where you're having intercessory prayer, I really, really suggest that those people that have any shred of doubt in their mind about interceding for a particular person, stay seated. Stay where you're at. Stay praising God and interceding from a distance, because you know, the spiritual lesson that Jesus had is when he, you know, cast out the infirmity with the servant of the centurion, he didn't even have to go into the centurion's house. Mm-hmm. He just said it from afar. And we can intercede with for people from afar. We don't have to actually lay on the hands to have a healing manifest. We need to go ahead and let God be God, and God can be God from a distance. But we don't need to add either unbelief or doubt or anything else to the mix. We don't need to add offense. Certainly, we don't. We're not here to offend people. We're not here to, you know, cause people to stumble. That's the one thing. You know, Jesus said it would be better for a millstone to be tied around our neck and thrown into the sea than to allow one of these little ones to stumble over us. So, and what we're doing. So, let's go ahead and.
Yes, we are going to take another short break here. This segment is brought to you by Pastor Hammond. He is with the Lighthouse Tabernacle on Ohio Street in Gridley. And we are thankful for our sponsors, and we are thankful for today's guest, April James. Thank you for being here.
Okay. And April, welcome back. The last segment of today, what we want to talk about a little bit is community outreach, school outreach. Talk a little bit about the Lunch Bunch.
Well, we have Lunch Bunch in Live Oak. It's been going on for just over 30 years now. It is a ministry to the high school students who come in. It's completely voluntary. They do not, it's no cost to them. It starts the first Thursday of September and goes every Thursday when they're in school and have lunchtime until the end of May when they are getting out of school. It is, again, multi-denominational. It started 30 years ago by just a mother with a heart. It started with four kids in her home. Then it went 10 to 12, and then 30 and 35, and it moved between different homes where they had rooms. They had people who picked the kids up and transported them to where it was going to be. Back in 92 to 96, I'm not sure the exact year, Live Oak First Baptist Church open their doors, and it's just three or four doors from the high school, to allow us to use their fellowship hall. Back when 50, 60 kids, well, we have outgrown their fellowship hall, and they allowed us to move into the sanctuary. So we're, you know, averaging 150, 165 kids every Thursday coming in, not just getting fed by pizza, which is now, is it moved from sandwiches and hot dogs, in 2006 we went to pizzas. But they get the Word of God. And we know not everybody comes in because they want to hear a message. They're not all believers. They may be coming just for that pizza and that cookie, you know, that mm-hmm. they get. But seeds are being planted with it. We have the age range of people that are there. We have a 17-year-old, not in school, that comes in. We have a 20-year-old. And we have up to somebody who's in their 90s coming in and serving the kids. And we're doing it every week. And everybody's got their different parts. Some are in the kitchens. Some are, you know, doing the sodas. Some are doing the chips. And there's three of us that coordinate having the speakers come in. And the speakers, without them, you know, wouldn't be anywhere. The kids don't want to hear us every Thursday on it. We have them from Chico, from Oroville, from Palermo coming in, from Yuba City out in Sutter, as well as those in Live Oak. And it's not just pastors. It's just everyday people with the testimony of what Christ has done in their lives. And when we come in, we do not promote a church. We promote Jesus Christ. And that is it. That is what we want, to get to the children and to see lives changed. We use it as an outreach with it versus, you know, a Sunday school message every time. with it, and we give them the opportunity to accept. Normally we have children, high school students, accepting the Lord with it, and we let them know of the different churches in the community that have youth groups and when they're meeting and who the leader is, trying to get them plugged in with them. And it's just been an awesome ministry. We have one gentleman, when he was coming through the program, to Lunch Bunch, he was a wannabe gang member. He's now a youth pastor. We had one gentleman.
Praise God.
Exactly. We don't know the impact, and we may not see it right there, but that seed's been planted, that fruit is there, and the Lord will just bring it to fruition, and that's what we're trusting.
Excellent. And that is so good, and it is so important for our listeners to understand that not every ministry that has an outreach has a particular denominational tag to it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of interdenominational ministries that are touching entire high schools. The entire mm-hmm. Live Oak High School has an opportunity to be touched in this particular way for Christ, if they will. They want pizza. They need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really important ministry. And you know, some of the guys and gals that get up there and speak, you know, it's pretty interesting because their pastors usually don't have people eating in their sanctuary.
Yes.
While they're delivering a message, and I just hope it's more than a dinner show. You know, I just mm-hmm. I hope it's not a tickling of the ears, but that they are really they're not just eating pizza, but they're eating of the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the interesting thing about the bread of life is the more you eat, the hungrier you get. And so I assume that part of this population that you have coming in is really people coming back again mm-hmm. and again and again. So are there a lot of church folks that are taking advantage of this? The young people?
There is. There is a lot that are involved in the churches that are coming, too. And they're bringing other students with them, and they're telling them about what's going on. For many of them, this is a midweek boost for them, you know, because come Thursday, there's nothing else till, you know, Sunday, or some have services on Saturday. But they're coming in. And the high school had even come over one time, the assistant principal, to find out what was going on, because they noticed a change in the atmosphere in the high school Thursday afternoons after those kids come back. So it says there's something that is going on there.
Praise
with
God.
It.
And that's the testimony you want. So mm-hmm. Just between you, me, and the microphone and my pencil, what is the population of the Live Oak High School?
I think this last year it was just over 500, and you're figuring we're getting 165. And wow. Most of them are their repeats. We've had sometimes where it's spiked up even more, and sometimes, you know, depending on what's going on at the school and different things. But
so you're touching almost a third of the students.
Mm-hmm. We are.
That is powerful. That is really powerful. So what are they going to do if they outgrow the sanctuary?
Well, actually, the church that is currently hosting us is remodeling their sanctuary. They are increasing the size. We have had some currently where we maxed out the sanctuary of 176, and we moved into the fellowship hall. We had tables in there. We put a speaker in there so they could hear him. The students didn't necessarily like that because they couldn't see the speaker, but they were still able, you know, to participate. So we're exciting. I mean, they're making a room, and not just because of this, because what's God doing in their individual church and how it's growing. But we also have the advantage of more room for more students coming in.
Well, God supports what he likes,
mm-hmm.
and so when we're doing his will for his kingdom, he's gonna bless it richly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, at some point we may have to go to our listeners and ask to pass the hat for a revival tent or something.
That
just for Live Oak. I mean, a third of the Live Oak High School population mm-hmm. For the Lunch Bunch. That is amazing. I did not know it was that. You know, mm-hmm. that many, that much of an impact on Live Oak. That is amazing testimony just of that particular outreach. So how many pizzas does that take? Some of those guys look pretty big. I mean, I've seen part of their their football team, they look like they can pack away some pizza.
They get two slices. Sorry. It's not an all-you-can-eat buffet coming in. But the neat thing of it is the community comes behind it. It's not just supported by the churches. Churches support us. Businesses support us. And the pizza factory is one. They give us pizzas at a really good price, and they even toss in a couple of free pizzas every week. We've got the Cookie Tree Cookie, who donates all the cookies to us that we are needing. Mm-hmm. Other people are buying sodas, and other people are funding it. Different organizations and private individuals are all supporting this. It's the community behind it.
Yes, excellent. And I'm glad that you're reaching out to the Cookie Tree and to the Pizza Factory, because I've met, that's Bob Wooten?
Bob and Kathy Wooten, yes.
Bob and Kathy Wooten. They are such fine people, and they go there to their elders in the Live Oak Father's House also, and such a great couple, and such great kids that mm-hmm. they've got, too, that are now grown. I ran into them the other day, and I couldn't hardly believe my eyes. They'd grown up so much. So.
They are, and Amanda, one of their daughters, who is kind of taking over part of the management of the Pizza Factory, went through Lunch Bunch. She's now the youth pastor at the Father's House, and she's also one of our speakers that come in.
Excellent.
And so, you know, and the other youth pastors. It's just wonderful to see the connections that they make with the kids, because that's really what it is, loving the kids, making that personal connection with them.
Very good. And that really does speak to the generational nature of Christianity, that when you bring somebody up through one of these ministries, a lot of times you're building the next generational mm-hmm. managers for that ministry. And you know, they're going to have some good ideas that along the mm-hmm. way, you know, they may capture more than just that one third. They may go to the next step, mm-hmm. whatever the next level is. You know, you may have the entire Live Oak High School falling out for pizza one day. And what a nice goal that is to strike on. So I guess what I'm trying to emphasize here is that our listeners, there's a lot going on in our area of interdenominational ministries, and we need to go ahead and encourage them to get involved, because in many cases, even if they're not involved from the spiritual aspect, they can still be involved in the business or the community aspect. So that's very important for ministries. And talk a little bit about, you know, about being under the umbrella of Christ for this particular ministry and other ministries like that.
We're all responsible to someone. I think you mentioned the centurion earlier, who understood the authority because he was under authority. And we are under authority. And we answer to our churches. You know, we have boards that we answer to. But ultimately, Christ is who we are under, and we have to come under him. And he's the one that just makes it happen. He's the one with the great ideas, opens the windows that are not there for us to do it.
Absolutely. And that is such a great point, that it is he that opens the doors that no one can close, and he closes doors that no one can open. So if we have a Christian that's running around that's a little frustrated because they can't find the door, well, if it's a door that's closed, it's closed either to protect you mm-hmm. or to protect the kingdom, because the kingdom is not ready for that particular door at this particular time. Press on, and at another season, when mm-hmm. you're ready for the door or the door is ready for you, it'll open.
Mm-hmm.
And be bold. Walk through with Christ. Don't walk through alone. Walk through with Christ, and he will provide the way and the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, how old is the Lunch Bunch ministry again? It started in the 90s?
No, it started before that. It's just over 30 years now.
Wow. And still, a third of the high school. That is an amazing milestone. That is mm-hmm. an amazing hurdle. We need to emulate that. We need to copy and paste that in other areas as much as we can, because that is such a good testimony. When you have the assistant principal wants to know what's going on because they can see the difference. I hope that they wanted to know what was going on because they could see a positive difference.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of things that go on, a lot of community activities that they go on, and there's not a positive positive impact. But to have somebody come over who is in a secular school system that wants to know what's going on, obviously there is, you know, some good fruit being produced there. That is an amazing, amazing testimony. So I challenge the listeners out there, if you are not involved in a ministry, that's what this program is all about, is find yourself a ministry that you can go ahead and support in some way, even if it is just through intercession. Talk about prayer. Talk about how important prayer is to the ministries and that you are involved in.
Prayer is the lifeline. If we can defeat Satan on prayer, we can defeat him in all other areas of our life. It is the lifeblood, is prayer. And I'm not talking just about root prayers with no heart or anything in it, where you're putting you into it and touching heaven, really seeking God for it. Because I know I was at one time where, I prayed, I did my duty, but it was falling kind of on deaf ears. It wasn't until I got that heart for prayer that, okay, if Jesus has to go out and pray, what makes me think I don't have to pray? And he was there. He was connected with the Father. He was seeing what was heaven was going on. He was hearing the words. How much more do we need it, not coming from a divine entity?
Well, absolutely. And Philippians 2 says that for it is God that works in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So my challenge to the listeners is, let's say that you sit down to pray, and I don't use that term loosely, sit, kneel, stand, arms up, you know, hands raised to heaven in your lap. It doesn't bother me. And the scripture says that David sat before the throne, or rather before the tabernacle. It's not the posture of your body. Please hear me. It's not the posture of your body. It is the posture of your heart when you pray, okay? And if you are having trouble approaching God, who is on the throne, okay, then my suggestion would be that that itself is a matter of prayer, okay? Pray to God that he would open up this particular ministry for you as a ministry, if that's what he desires, or at least as an individual. I want to say it's more than an activity. It's a devotion of that portion of your life to honoring God. And Scripture says how to approach him. Into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Why? He's worthy of thanksgiving. If it weren't for him, you know, nothing is possible in this world. And he is worthy of our praise. And Scripture says he inhabits the praise of his people. So you draw him. He is already knows more about what you need than you do. And in praise and in worship and in thanksgiving, you are drawing him closer and closer to yourself, while you're drawing yourself closer and closer to him spiritually. And you can go ahead and leave these things at his feet and on his, you know, at his throne, to say, you know, I'm not praying for me right now. There's plenty to pray about for me. Reading the Word of God, it defines for me some of the areas I still need so much patience and so much work of God in my life. Okay, there's plenty of stuff that God's still working on me, but I don't have to be perfect. Those things don't have to be accomplished for me to bring other things to God's attention that he's already aware of, but he wants us to be aware of what his heart is in these matters, and it will, in many cases, move the hand of God when he sees people that are acknowledging that they're not perfect, other than in the blood of Christ Jesus, you know, with the blood of Christ Jesus over them. But he also likes us to acknowledge that we recognize that there are needs in this world that only he can solve. That's the important point, and that's what I'm challenging our listeners to become involved with. even if you do not roll up your sleeves and physically become involved in a ministry, find a ministry that you can lift up to the throne of God and that you can intercede for on a regular basis. And please do, because if they are accomplishing God's will for His kingdom and for the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ, then that's what counts.
We are grateful to our listeners, and we are grateful to April James for this session here. We're also grateful to have Mike Davis here and his wife, who's with us today in studio. Thank you, listeners. Mike, would you like to carry... Sarah, April James, would you like to carry us out with a prayer, please?
Yes. Father God, I just thank you that we have this time to take to encourage others to look to you and see what is out there that they can be involved in, not saying somebody should do this or there's this here need, but saying, what can I do? What's within my hands to do to reach others, to show the love of Christ to them? Father, I ask you just give us a listening and an understanding heart. And I just want to bless all the listeners that are out there. Be encouraged. That dream that might inside of you is something that the Lord would be birthing. And take it to someone, because they might just be looking for what God has put into you, for someone to step up and say, what about this? To take it by the horns and run with it. And it's not that we will have to do everything with it, but it's that others will see it, recognize it from the Lord, and join in. You might be that next move that God wants to start, or you might be the one touching from what you're doing the next life that God is going to use. But just spend that time with prayer, take the time to listen, and have the boldness and the courage to be stepping forward. And the question is, who am I to do this? And I would say, why not you? You could be that Esther for such a time as this, that next Gideon to be going out. So we just bless you with the boldness and the courage, the listening ears, and just that knowing and that quickening within your spirit for what the Lord is having and calling you to in this point of time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.